Hi, my name is Marisa Taylor from Rutherford Hill Winery. You can learn more about me and the wines that I make at rutherfordhill.com.
Welcome to Wine and Dine. My name is Lynn Creelo Chamberlain, host. You're listening to iWine Radio. Today on Wine and Dine, we're going to learn about a public television series. In North Carolina, where I live, it aired in January, but it has different release dates across the country, and it's called Vintage Napa Valley 2012, and it is a focus on the day-to-day hustle and bustle of vineyard sampling, picking, decisions, and the crush pad, and we're being joined by the three winemakers that were the focus of this series. And to begin with, we're starting with Marisa Taylor, who's the winemaker at Rutherford Hill. And let me give you a little bit of background on her. She went to college at Santa Rosa Junior College and then moved into University of California, Davis, and earned a bachelor's in chemistry and a master's in food science enology. And she has a lot of skills in sparkling wine, a lot of skills in sparkling wine. She worked in Italy in the Chianti region and learned how to work with Sangiovese. But at Rutherford Hill, she's working with a lot of red grapes that everybody knows Napa Valley for. And Marisa, we thank you so very much for your time today.
Well, thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
I am so curious, and I didn't really get the background story. How did the three of you get picked, or how did you get involved with this project?
Well, actually, we're pretty lucky is the way I look at it. We were approached probably about two years ago. The producer, Peter, came out. He was scouting out different wineries in Napa and Sonoma, and he wasn't quite sure what he was going to do. It was just kind of, you know, a creative trip and to see what looked good on camera. And after some filming, he came back a few months later, and we were approached saying that he had selected the three of us and our staff to follow because it made for good TV. So, yeah, we were lucky. It was kind of just a random thing.
Well, maybe not so much so. What occurs to me is, as I'm reading the notes here, they had, what, like 350 wineries in Napa to choose from? Mm-hmm. But they focused on women, just women. And I think that is so wonderful, wonderful, wonderful.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I think initially that wasn't what his objective was.
I figured.
That is kind of what that's kind of what ended up, obviously that's what ended up happening.
Yeah.
So it's pretty special. It's pretty special. Pretty fun to see yourself.
Yeah. So. I mean, it gives people watching an insight into, it's almost like your celebrity status, you know. Rutherford Hill is a really serious winery with a very serious history, but then
right.
You get to have your son help you at the winery, and you're juggling family and this crazy bedlam that goes on, especially near harvest.
Yes, that is true, and it's pretty special to have it captured on, to have that on film. And yeah, it's in the blood. I mean, my dad has gotten the bug, and my son too. It's definitely a part of our lives. And you know, it's one of those things, even outside of harvest time, that my son will say, "I haven't been to the winery in a while."
Oh,
so
wow.
It's just something that I think it just becomes a part of you. And it is a juggling act. I think it's motherhood. It's definitely a juggling act, probably for anybody in a career. But harvest kind of brings a different intensity about it. So
I was watching a Bert Wolfe special on PBS a week ago, and I think it's the second time I've seen this. This really resonated with me. He stated, and he had to have been basing this on some kind of psychological or neurological research, that women are shopping, and they're able to handle a lot of different stimuli at once and make mm-hmm. fast, effective, good decisions, where men can't do that. They basically can only handle one thing at a time. So I think that it makes so much sense that women are very good in this role, especially with the craziness that happens at harvest.
Yeah, well, that, I guess that leads to some backing for that, yeah. Yeah, I think it also goes to just your personalities and what your strengths are. And I mean, maybe women tend to, multitask more than men, but I also know lots of men that do the same thing, but it definitely, you have to make those decisions quick. You have to be thoughtful. You have to, I think there's also that intuitive nature, I think, that goes into it. And, it's the science and the art blended together along with, you know, Mother Nature, who's ultimately in charge of everything. So you just try to make the best decisions you can around all those moving factors.
I watched the short little video on Vimeo and wrote down a couple talking points, and you already stated that this comes naturally to you, and you feel like you're a conductor because you have so many people working under you. But are you somewhat of an adrenaline jockey, you know, especially at harvest time, because there's never a boring day. Every day there are so many decisions to be made. There's so much diversity, not only in the people, but the different jobs you have to do.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the adrenaline junkie or whatever, I mean, it definitely, you get a different adrenaline rush during harvest. And I think as harvest is approaching, you know, you get the nervousness of it. But once it kind of gets started, yeah, I think it's the adrenaline. I think it's also when you see, you have to have adrenaline to get through it, number one. But it's that seeing it all come together. You know, you've worked hard all harvest. You've, you know, done all those things with, you know, vineyards, with your staff prepping, you know, getting everything ready. So it's kind of like it's showtime, right? It's
right.
So and of course there's adrenaline behind that. I think that's what carries you through, that and passion. And when you're fortunate to work with, you know, good people, you know, you're all in tune. And it is like an orchestra, you know?
Yeah. I like that analogy. How many people do you supervise, you manage at the winery day to day?
Day to day. In the off season, we are now a crew of about 18,
wow.
18 to 20. And that also includes, you know, we have facilities and things, but, you know, production, bottling, we're just gearing up for our bottling season. So, yeah, it's a lot, but I have good staff. I have, you know, supervisors. So, but, you know, it allows for me to be away from the winery too. I need to.
You do a fair amount of travel around the states doing winemaker dinners and that sort of thing?
Yeah, we just actually got back. We were out back east in Boston for a week.
Okay.
So we've been playing catch up this week. But yeah, so it's always great to get out there and meet fans of the wine and new fans of the show and, you know, to promote our products and promote what we love to do. I think as you talked to all three of us, we're really fortunate that all of us really love what we do. And that was so important for me to find a career that I had passion for. And, you know, because we spend so much time with our jobs, right?
Right.
Away from our family. So it's important that, you know, something that you want to be at. So,
where were you like mentally when you switched from Santa Rosa Junior to a BS in chemistry and then a master in food science and enology? Or did you know all the way from like high school that you wanted to get into wine somehow?
Actually, I didn't. I mean, I think it's one of those things I talk about that sometimes it's right in your own backyard and you don't look at it,
yeah.
You know? I always had my vision on. I always wanted to go into medicine, or, you know, then I was like, maybe I'll be a pharmacist or something in the medical field. So that was why I was pursuing a degree in chemistry, and it allowed me, you know, an opportunity to transfer to Davis. And so I still was on that path when I transferred to Davis. And actually, it was summer before my senior year, of course, and had an internship lined up back home to work in a couple of different pharmacies to see if I liked it. And I called my dad. I remember the day I called him, and I was so upset because I didn't have a plan anymore, because I really was realizing that's not what I wanted to do. And my dad said, honey, just calm down. You know, you'll figure it out. He's like, and then he just made an off-the-cuff comment. He seriously did. He's like, you know, you're from wine country, and you're at the wine university. Why don't you just make wine for a living? And I just said, it just was like that light bulb of,
oh, wow.
What, I could do that? Yeah, I could do that. He's like, honey, what do you think? You know, so it just, one thing led to another. I went and visited a friend of his that was in the business. And the minute I walked into the winery, I knew. It was the aroma. It brought back all these memories of we used to go wine tasting when I was a kid. And we have pictures of me on my mom's back in the vineyards with my grandmothers, you know, because we'd always go wine tasting when they come to town. So it was just really instilled. I think those memories, you know, it helped me pursue it. And realizing it was both science and art. So seem more a better balance and a better fit.
Okay, and which leads me to another question that I asked you before we started recording. You said science and art, and there, and you know, wine is mostly water. There's some alcohol, and then there's acidity, and then there are the chemical components that affect flavor, color, and stability. Do you think that the majority of those components revolve around acidity and the polyphenols that come from the skins or the oak?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's an all-in integrated system there. You know, you do. Yeah, you have all those natural acids from the grapes. You've got the different polyphenol compounds and concentrations depending on the type of grape that you have. But then, of course, you know, the alcohol is huge because that gives you the viscosity and the mouthfeel, too. And then you don't forget about all those tannins in there, too. So you have tannins. You also have the tannins that are, you know, naturally in the grapes, but then also let you, you know, you barrel age the wine, perhaps, and those integrations of, you know, making it rounder. You've got the lees, the yeast, which are, you know, that breaks down, that you can, you know, really to help fill out the palate. So it's a lot of moving things together, you know, working together to create that delicious product that we all love. And they're all different, right?
It occurs to me that when you were going for pharmacy or medical, maybe it didn't even occur to you that a job in the wine industry was a serious career. And here you are explaining to us all this very, very detailed chemistry and biology. It's a very serious career.
Yeah, well, thank you. I love it.
Marisa Taylor, winemaker for Rutherford Hill, we'd like to thank you so very much for joining us this week on Wine and Dine.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
We will have links up for you to learn more. You're listening to Wine and Dine. You're listening to iWine Radio.